This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. She's a sideline reporter for the Tulane Green Wave and also publisher and host of Before the Whistle podcast, Maddie Hudak. Maddie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I got one question. How many years have you been the sideline reporter for Tulane?
This is wrapping up my fourth season here on the sidelines.
Okay, three of the four, where you ended up at the end of the season?
With a spot in the conference championship here, Mike.
You're bringing them good luck. You're bringing them good luck, Maddie. Three to four.
It's a lot of good karma there, Maddie. I mean,
We got you another extension, maybe.
So that means a whole lot better. You on the sideline versus Gus Cattingill. So Gus didn't even win another. So you the magic formula, Maddie.
Yeah. Gus got to go on to that.
I think Corey told me that my record as a sideline reporter is 34-16. So I'd like to think pretty good.
That's pretty good, Maddie. We all know. When you play Memphis, and I brought this up to Coach Sumrall, the one thing they got is fast dudes. They are athletic.
They can't play defense, but they're going to score.
But man, you're in a track meet every time you go up against Memphis because of the speed and athleticism of their skill players, running back, wide receiver, flex tight end, quarterback. That's a big challenge for a defense that has really played lights out the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, kind of looking at Memphis this year, I think that kind of parallels a lot to the 2023 Tulane team, where they had all the veteran leadership, they had a lot of guys returning, but it just didn't really seem to click as well on the field. But that doesn't take away from the massive skill that they have, that, you know, you look at a lot of the teams that Tulane's played in the AAC this year, and there's just been such a clear disparity in competition level. This, to me, isn't one of those times. And if you look at the last couple of games for Tulane, they went up against Charlotte. They benched one quarterback halfway through. The other guy couldn't really complete anything. Then they go over to Temple was in the middle of that. Really hard to judge anything. They're missing their best skill player in Dante Wright. Then you go to Navy where, yeah, they shut down the run. They shut down an option team, but the explosive passing game wasn't really there because of Blake Horvath's injury and also their coverage. This, to me, is going to be, you know, a test where it's not just about them all doing their jobs. Assignment, talent, and skill is really going to matter against a veteran quarterback that, you know, pretty much leads the conference in most metrics, very similar to how Pratt did last year.
Maddie, before we talk about the 12-team college football playoff probability for the Wave, I'm looking at Army. They got spanked by Notre Dame, 49-14 loss on Saturday night. It virtually guaranteed Tulane will play for the right to host Army in December the 6th, the American Athletic Conference Championship game. Now, when you look at you facing Memphis on Thanksgiving night at Yeoman Stadium, are like, the student body, are they on campus? Because that's kind of weird come Thanksgiving night. And considering how relevant Tulane is, there's no reason that shouldn't be a packed house come Thursday night against Memphis. I mean, you should be standing room only. Is that going to be the case, you think, or what?
I really hope so. You know, it is a shame that it's not on Black Friday, because I do think so many students would be at this game and would really fill a lot of those seats. But everyone that has Thanksgiving, for me at least, I'm done eating by that time, and I'm looking to go on a walk and get out of the house and not just sit there and have all my food be in my stomach. So being able to go to a football game where, I'm not going to get into they're the best team in Louisiana right now, but they're playing really winning, dominating championship level for their conference football, and they're getting that deserved attention. As you said, we'll get to that 12-team playoff thing, but there's a reason that they're getting the attention that they did. You don't just go into a service academy like Navy and shut them out 35-0. That deserves a lot of respect. But ultimately, it does all come down to this weekend's matchup. And I just hope that, you know, at least with respect to Tulane side of things as well, that the focus for them really remains on getting this last one done. But these seniors, you know, I talked to three of them today, Josh Remetich, Ethan Hudak, Eric Hicks. There are a ton of guys that are not just here for the last couple seasons. They stuck here through the 2-10 year. And so for them to really see out that whole turnaround, stick around for that, stick around for another coaching change and really turn this into a player-led team that this is the earliest they ever clinched a conference championship. If there was ever a time to go see some great guys play football with a hell of a head coach that's a lot of fun, it would be this Thursday for tickets that are selling for $5.
Whoa, bank me a bucket this day and age. Yeah, take your kid. They don't know it's a football game. Let's go. Come on, you get excited. The crowd's going crazy. I think it could be a great atmosphere. And, Maddie, I guess I'm going to look ahead and not put the cart before the horse, but we can do that as long as – you know, the players and the coaches aren't doing that for the Wave. Take care of business come, Thursday night against the Memphis Tigers. But looking at, American Athletic Conference champion, and I'm just saying Tulane, in theory, no one would have maybe thought this. You could be ranked higher than a champion of maybe the Big 12. And look at the chaos you have right now in the Big 12. And, you know, they still have, what, 8 teams in contention for its title game entering the final weekend. But then you look at the college football playoff rules, it stipulates that, what, the top 5 conference automatic champions get automatic berths regardless of whether they're in Power 4 or Group of 5 leagues. Just explain that, because that's that was hurting my brain. Okay, well, what's going to happen with Tulane and all? Because I look, now we still got to see how this is going to play out. But Tulane got a fighting chance to be in that postseason.
They got more than a fighting chance, to be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they moved up 5 spots, I can't think of the last time that I saw a jump like that for Tulane. I mean, they haven't been in the college football playoff rankings really for a long time ever. But to go up 5 spots for that win at Navy, that really showed to me that the respect level is there. And they, you know, they won the bye week, all things considered. I always go back to, you know, conversations with Nick Anderson in the Cotton Bowl year, and how it was always just a team of destiny and how confident he was that everything was going to work out, that if they were meant to be there at the end, Navy would beat UCF. They end up, you know, pulling that off. They end up breaking a 32-game winning streak in Cincinnati. You know, they had to pull off so many of those things on their end, but all the chaos that basically needed to happen in order for us to be having this conversation, like you said, about the top-ranked conference champions, that all happened in Tulane's favor this weekend, where you see kind of where they make the jumps this upcoming week. Because, you know, Boise, as unconvincing as their recent wins have been, they're not going to get penalized because they're continuing to win. But the Big 12, they could end up in a scenario where a lot of those teams have 3 or 4 losses. ASU was ranked behind Tulane last week, and they tend to really not penalize teams on byes. You have to think that they pass Army as well, and with all the teams from 7 to 15 that lost in front of them, there's really an opportunity for them to move up there. And I think, well, they haven't played Notre Dame. You saw how Notre Dame played Navy. Then you saw how Tulane played Navy. If they go and play Army and shut them down the same way, in that same dominating fashion that Notre Dame did, to me, that's the best that you can say to weigh them against, you know, a Power 4 game that they're not able to have this late in the year. I think that that really gives them serious credibility to, you know, making a run at this. You just think about the games in Kansas State and Oklahoma, and yes, they lost them at the end of the day. They still were, you know, within one questionable call from going to overtime against Kansas State. You have a redshirt freshman in his first road environment against an SEC school with a week that they had 1 to 2 days to prep because of the hurricane, and they still came back and made it a 5-point contest after going down 21-0. So if I've ever been confident that a team like Tulane can compete with an SEC-sized school and the Power 5 programs, they weren't able to at the end of this beginning of this year. What they are right now, I would not count them out of anything.
Maddie, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. And I told you last time, you know, when we had you on, Steve Gelly, try to jinx you. Ethan, about the deep snapper. Man, you don't talk about the deep snapper because the only time you know about him is when he screws up.
Yeah, a bad but snap.
real quickly, the origin of him becoming a deep snapper, when did that start?
Ethan Hudak, actually, I had this conversation with him. He was kind of an odd body type. He's, you know, a little stocky for a long snapper. He wasn't really big enough to play guard or center. And so they said, you know, there was a guy that he knew that was a long snapper and said it's a great way to get on the field immediately and possibly get a college scholarship. He kind of looked at it like a business decision and just perfected that one skill. It's really paid off for him in the long run.
Matty, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Good luck Thursday night when the Tulane Green Wave play Memphis.
Thank you so much. Can't wait for it.
All righty. Thank you, Matty. Matty Hudak, who's the sideline reporter for the Tulane Green Wave.